How precious that we get to come together and we get to worship the Lord this morning, that we get to come into His presence. And sometimes we can come in and it's actually, we need to just recalibrate, just lift our gaze again. I think even just Todd's preach of last week, again, of reminding us to look to Christ, to look to Jesus, to keep our eyes fixed on Him. In Hebrews 12, it says, how do we run this race? By keeping our eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith. It is by doing that we're even able to run this race and to finish this race well, is as we keep our eyes on Jesus, as we keep looking to Him and actually allowing the truth of who He is to take root in our hearts, that we're not seeing Him incorrectly or faulty, but actually that we see Him for who He is, in the truth of who He is, and that there'd be this overflow from our lives, that actually our worship would reflect that, that our worship would reflect, again, just the gratitude of what He's done for us, the gratitude of what He saved us from and what He saved us into, that He's added us into His kingdom, into His family. Amen. Amen. Hey, what a privilege, what a joy that our eyes have been opened. Who's grateful that they're born again? Hey, who's grateful that Jesus has intervened in their lives? Hey, I don't even know where I would be today if it wasn't for Jesus. But I'm so grateful that he intervened in my life. I'm grateful that He has changed me, that I am not the same as who I was, that I'm a new creation, that you, as you put your faith in Christ, that you are a new creation. You are not your past. But as we allow Him to work in us, He changes us. He transforms us. Hey, it's the Lord that is at work within us, which is just amazing. And so I'm very grateful to the Lord, and I'm very grateful to my mother for sharing the gospel with me. Hey, who are you grateful that somebody has shared the gospel with you? Hey, who is that person? Who was that person that shared the gospel with you? You can shout it out. Mom and dad. Hey, the importance of moms and dads training their kids in the ways of the Lord. Hey. It's such a precious thing. How many people came to salvation in a church meeting? Hey, you came into a Sunday meeting, and you heard the gospel preached, and your heart was changed. Hey, how many? You're all very shy this morning. You can put up your hands. Who gave their heart to Jesus in a Sunday meeting? Awesome! Praise the Lord! Hey, we should be full of joy and excited. This is amazing. But for me, again, it's so awesome how many people do end up in a Sunday meeting, and it's how unsaved people come into our context, hear the gospel, hearts are softened, and there's a response to the gospel that causes their hearts to change. And so it's so valuable even just inviting our friends and families into our meetings. Hey, you never know how that could stir their heart to a response to the gospel. Amen. I like amens. I like, you can even throw out a hallelujah. That is also cool. Just so that I know that you are alive and awake and hearing me, so we can grow in this as a congregation. Okay. We're going to grow in the hallelujahs and the amens. Preach it, brother. Okay.
Come on.
I was just thinking this morning, I was thinking about just the Last Supper. And just how the disciples were sitting with Jesus, and how it says that John was reclining and had his chest on Jesus, his head, his ear on Jesus' chest. Got that right. And I thought, yo, what a such a close, such an intimate space of just being able to put our ear on the Lord's chest. I mean, can you imagine for John? I mean, I look forward to the day of being able to see Jesus face to face. I just want to give Jesus a hug. You know what I mean? Like just in the physical of being able to embrace the Lord He embraces me all the time. I feel his presence and I feel his nearness. But I think something like that would have just been so amazing. And I think for John, like even just having his ear inclined to the Lord's chest and being able to hear Jesus' heartbeat. Hey, I mean, how amazing would that have been? But even for me this morning, I feel like there's something of the Lord's heart that he's wanting us to hear. There's something of the Lord's heart that he's wanting us to catch. And so, will we incline our ear this morning to the Lord? Will we incline our ear to his chest this morning and hear his heartbeat? To hear what one of the things that are on the Lord's heart for us even this morning. And so we know that God created man in his image. Sin has separated us from the Lord, and we see through the Bible how God has planned from the beginning to restore us back to right standing with him. This is one of the things that we see that's on the Lord's heart, is that we would be restored back into right standing with him. We see this throughout the scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, pointing to Jesus, pointing to Messiah that will come, pointing to him actually restoring us back to him. And in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 6, if you want a page there with me, it says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." And then we see in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, it says, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." And so God's heart is that none would perish, but that all would come to salvation. This is God's heart. And even this morning, are we hearing the heart of the Lord this morning? That actually, that God's wanting to reach the lost. He wants none to perish, but all to come to salvation. He went to the cross. Jesus died on the cross so that all could come to salvation. And so we read in John 3, 16 to 17, it says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." And so we know that the Lord, the Father, sent the Son to save the world. He is coming back. He's coming back, and he's going to come back, and he's going to judge the world. But he first came to save. And we are those now awaiting. And even as we read that passage in 2 Peter, where actually some were starting to mock, "Oh, where's God coming back?" They were starting to mock because they said, "But where's Jesus coming back?" And actually going, he's not slow to his promises, but actually he's been patient because he doesn't want anyone to perish. And he's actually giving chance for those to repent and to come into relationship and right standing with him. And so we see this as God's heart. But he is coming back. And he's coming back soon. We know that we're living in the last days. We are closer today than we were yesterday. And so are we living ready? Are we living with the urgency, even in our own lives, that yes, we've come to salvation if we've put our faith in Christ and we've been born again. We've experienced that. But now God is wanting to reach the lost through us. He's wanting to use each one of us to reach those because he's giving time because he's wanting others to come to salvation. This is God's heart. And so one of the most telling passages of Scripture regarding God's heart for those that don't know him to be found, we read this in Luke 15. And so we see a whole lot of unsaved people. So this is the context even of Luke 15, is actually now there's all these tax collectors, these sinners, they're all starting to gather around Jesus, and the religious leaders of the day are now starting to make all sorts of statements. Look, he hangs out with sinners, and it's into this context that Jesus brings Luke 15, and he brings these three parables, and I'm going to read all three of them. I'm sure we all know them well. But it's into this context where you've got these religious leaders that are getting upset because Jesus is hanging with tax collectors and sinners. And it says in Luke 15, 1-7, it talks about, let me read it. It says, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And then from verse 8 to 10, it says, "Oh, that woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then we see from verse 11, where it talks about the prodigal son. It says, and he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. There he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him with a kiss, and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field, and as he came, he drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you and have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when his son, this son of yours came, who was devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. All of that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found. And so even as I know we can dive into each one of those parables and unpack, but the overall theme of what Jesus was trying to bring across was actually God's heart for the lost. And God's heart, and actually that how God has pursued us, how he's pursued each one of us to that place of even sending his son to the cross so that we would come to salvation. This is the very heart of God towards us. And so even in the case of the prodigal son, what stands out is the heart of the father. It's incredible that he would be waiting the return of his rebellious son. He fully embraces his return and restores him back to the family and community. And Jesus highlights the joy in the hearts of those that find what was lost. And I love that. Even Jesus going like, even in the heavens, the whole of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents, when one comes to salvation. And even amongst us, it should be that. When we see one person come to salvation, there should be this joy in our hearts that someone has been saved. We should celebrate that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We're getting there. And so the Lord is pursuing us. He pursued us, and we've come to salvation. And then He fills us with His Spirit, and actually empowers us to be able to go out and do the same, to go out and to carry the gospel wherever we go. We see even just this past Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, where we consider even just the Holy Spirit being poured out. But one of the things of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we've seen Acts 1 verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Lord empowers us to be His witnesses. The Lord stirs in our hearts. And I love this because this is actually in Acts 1, but actually this is the picture of what actually happens throughout the whole of Acts. Is that it starts in Jerusalem. The outpouring of the Spirit, Peter stands up and preaches on that day. 3,000 get added. And then we see persecution breaks out, and slowly the gospel's carried out from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. And even for us sitting here today on the southernmost east tip of Africa, hearing the gospel even out here. Because there were those that were filled with the Spirit that actually took the gospel out. And so there's this beautiful thing even for us that God, as God has added us here, He's brought us here to St. Francis, that we would start in this place to reach the lost. That we would start with those around us to be able to share. The Lord has given each one of us different areas of influence. He's given each one of us different friendship circles. He's given each one of us different work environments, different access to different sports or whatever it is. God has given you different things or different areas of influence for you to be able to reach with His kingdom, to be able to reach with the good news. And if it's good news, if we truly believe that it's good news, why would we want to keep it to ourselves? And so each one of us, God's called us. I'm in the privileged position that God's called me into full-time ministry in the sense of that I'm employed by the church. But the reality is all of you are in full-time ministry. You might just draw an income from somewhere else. But that's not your primary. Your primary focus is actually that we're called to make disciples of nations. So whatever you're doing, it's like you're a secret agent. Undercover as a whatever you do. But actually what God's doing is placed you in an area of influence to be able to bring the gospel. Let's see where I'm at. I'm doing time-wise. And so when we consider these truths, it becomes clear that if we have lost the desire to reach the lost, we have lost an aspect of God's heart. And so when we lose sight of actually what God's called us to, we actually lost sight of something that's on God's heart. He's given us His Spirit. If we're starting to live for ourselves, actually we've lost sight because our lives actually no longer belong to us. He's purchased us. Our lives belong to Him. We've been enlisted into the Lord's service, into the Lord's army. And actually He's calling us to be those that would take the gospel out. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it says, Jesus came and told His disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach His new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the Lord hasn't called us to be those that make converts. The Lord has called us to be those that make disciples, that actually we are to be those that will carry the gospel out. But as people come to salvation, is actually that we then make disciples. We teach them not just about the Lord's commands. We don't just teach head knowledge, but we're called to teach people to be obedient to God's ways. And this isn't a call. This is a call for each and every one of us as disciples of Jesus, is actually that we all called to be those to be carrying the gospel out, to make disciples of nations, that as we go, go into all the nations. That as we go about our day, as we travel, as we go to the shop and buy groceries, are we living? Because sometimes we can get so caught up with our day and so busy that actually I've had many moments. I get back at the end of the day or the end of the day, I reflect on my day and I go, oh, I missed an opportunity there because I was rushing and there's times life's happening, things happening. But are we living with intention? Are we living on purpose? Are we living on mission for the Lord? Because we are, as a church, we are on mission together. We are a family on mission to reach this village, to reach the surrounds, and to reach the nations with the gospel. This is why we go. We're a going people. Amen. Amen. We're a going people. We are those that carry the good news. And we should be those looking for opportunity to weave Jesus into the conversation. When people that don't know Christ are living from a place of hopelessness, we are those that are able to go, hey man, I've got something to share with you. I've got hope for you. And it's not just hope, it's a living hope. It's Jesus. He is the solution. Hey? And so will we be those that will be living on purpose, living? Some of you have heard my story about being trapped in the traffic department. Some of you might not have heard it. But we were stuck in the queue for I think we were in the queue for more than Killian. I was sitting there. We were more than an hour we were sitting there. And I was just like, this might be the only opportunity that I ever see this person sitting next to me ever again. And I was like, if I can't leave here and not say something to this person sitting next to me. I'm sitting next to him for an hour. I mean, how can I walk away and not have tried to bring Jesus into the conversation? And I remember sharing with the person next to me. And then all of a sudden, the lights went off in the traffic department. All of a sudden, the doors were locked. And I was like, we didn't know what was going on. And we were sitting. And eventually they said, no, there's a power outage in the area. They don't know how, but obviously no one's communicating or telling you what's happening. You sort of got to figure it out. So they locked the doors. So I don't know why they locked the doors, but it was a captive audience of a whole lot of people sitting in the queue with me. And some people were eventually getting frustrated and being let out and whatever the case is. But the Lord challenged me, going like, here's a whole group of people. He has an opportunity. And so anyway, so eventually I was like sweating, like, "Yo, Lord, are you sure?" But I knew the Lord was doing something in me. And so the Lord stretched me. And eventually at one point I got up and I can't remember what I said, but I think everybody thought I was like going to complain and moan. And you could see they were all getting worked up with me until I was like, I brought the gospel. I had a whole group of people sitting there, a captive audience. And no one responded, but you know what? There was something of the Lord's the Lord stretching me to be obedient. And I've never seen those people again in my life. But the reality is that there's something of the truth of the Lord that they heard that day that they would never be able to deny, saying, I never heard about Jesus. And so my thing is, are we living on purpose? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us? And are we allowing the Holy Spirit to stretch us, even out of our comfort, for a moment to be able to share good news with those that are in desperate need of a Savior? Hey? And so who knows, next time you're in the traffic department, you're going to be thinking about this, and then the Lord's going to be knocking on your heart, and your heart's going to start beating. Or a long flight, where you got a captive audience on a plane. Oh, Lord, come and do it. We're going to be on a plane soon. So I'm like, come on. What an awesome opportunity. We got a 15-hour flight back. They might throw us out of the plane. Oh, man, come on. But well, we got good news, don't we? Have we got good news?
Yes.
Why would we not want to share this? Why would we not want to tell others about Jesus? Even for our friends, are we sharing with our friends that don't know Jesus? Are we sharing with our family? I know sometimes family can be the hardest to share with. But are we looking for opportunities? And I know we've got to apply wisdom in these things. Sometimes we've got to play the long game in it. We've got to be those looking for opportunity. Romans 1 verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Oh man, there's power in the gospel. We used to in PE when we were in the Western Suburbs congregation, guys, we would strategize. We would strategize as a community group. We would strategize. We would go, okay, we're going to invite our unsaved friends to a braai, and the whole comm is in on it. The whole comm is aware. Why? Because we want to reach this person. We want to tell them about Jesus. And it might be for the first time we're just building relationally. But we're looking for opportunities. How can we tell about Jesus? We don't want to just leave the lost out there. We want to make disciples. So we want to share the gospel with people. But we want to draw them into family. We want to bring them into the body. Because this is what God's called us to be the church. And so we want to reach the lost and then bring them into family where we can disciple and teach them to obey the Lord's commands, to teach them the way of the Lord. And so we want to bring them into family. We want to be able to walk a journey with them and alongside them. Amen.
Amen.
Watching my time. Romans 10. 13 to 17, it says, "For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, 'How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news.' But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ." Luke 10 verse 12, 10 verse 2, it says, these were his instructions to them. "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." 2 Timothy 4 verse 5, "But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you." I'll jump to scripture. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 to 21, it says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God has reconciled the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, but entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God has called us to be ambassadors, that through us, God is pleading with those that don't know him, pleading to be reconciled to God. The Lord is wanting to use us to reach those around us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, it says, "Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news." And for us, we are those that the Lord has entrusted with this good news. He's appointed us as ambassadors. He's called us to reach those around us with the good news of the gospel. He's called us to go into all the nations and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey his commands. This is not just for a few. This is for each and every one of us. God has called us to reach the lost. God has called us to be those that would carry the gospel out around us. If we've got those that are friends that are unsaved, it's an opportunity to be reaching them. But if we find in that, and it's Jesus hung out with sinners, but Jesus never became a sinner. And so for us, the Lord wants us to reach the unsaved, but to bring them into his family. Bring them in, to share the gospel, bring them in, make disciples. This is what God's calling us to. This is what God, we are a family on mission. Amen? Ah, let's stand together. And even what I'm sharing today, I know for many of us, we're going, I know this. But I want to ask the question, when last have you shared your faith with somebody? When last have you told somebody about Jesus? When there's been conversation and in this world, we can quickly get caught up with hopelessness and everything's so bad, but are we those that are in those moments going, I can bring faith into this conversation. I can bring a solution into this conversation. I am able to share Jesus. And so when last have you shared your faith with somebody? When last have you shared the gospel with somebody? When last have you led someone to the Lord? Because this is something that God's calling all of us to. The treasures of heaven is God's people. We're taking nothing with us. You're taking nothing with us except the people. And so are we catching God's heart even this morning? And that's my prayer for us this morning, is actually that we would, again, that our hearts would be stirred for the lost, that our hearts would break for the lost the way the Lord's heart breaks for the lost, that we would be those living on purpose, with intention, and on mission to see the kingdom of God advance. And the kingdom of God advances one soul at a time, one person at a time. Are we looking for the opportunities here in this village to reach this? Because we are on mission as a church here in St. Francis to reach this place. The early church, they were known, you're reading in Acts, it was known for turning the place upside down. Are we known for the place, in St. Francis, for turning this place upside down for Jesus? Hey? And so will we allow the Lord to stretch us even this week? I want to challenge you this coming week to be intentional and look for an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with somebody. Come on. I want to challenge you this, because this is a muscle. If we're not exercising it, it goes weak. And so this is something that, a muscle that we've got to exercise in order to strengthen it, to become bolder in it, because we need to be those. Time is getting few, and there should be an urgency even on our hearts for the lost.